This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President-elect Trump is rapidly filling positions for a second administration, some nominees causing controversy.
A growing number of Republican senators making it clear they want to see the House Ethics Committee report into Trump's pick for Attorney General Matt Gaetz. The bipartisan committee was investigating Gaetz for allegations of illicit drug use and sexual misconduct. Sources telling ABC a woman testified he had sex with her when she was only 17, and a lawyer representing another woman telling us his client testified she witnessed it.
ABC's Mary Alice Sparks. In a late-night court filing Friday, federal prosecutors argued that Sean Diddy Combs' latest bail request should be denied, claiming that he poses a serious risk of danger and obstruction in his sex trafficking case. Red flag warnings for 43 million Americans across eight states. The Northeast dangerously dry, wind gusts reigniting hotspots, millions bracing for gusty winds and more fires. This is ABC News. The Department of Labor wanted to change rules in order to make more workers eligible for overtime pay. A federal judge said it cannot.
Many employees are exempt from overtime if they make more than a certain amount of money per year. The Biden administration proposed a rule that would have raised the threshold to $43,888, saying that would make about 4 million more workers eligible for overtime pay. But the state of Texas and business organizations sued, saying it exceeds the Labor Department's authority. And a district judge in Texas agreed, ruling job duties, not wages, determine overtime eligibility. Brian Clark, ABC News.
The threshold now reverts back to the 2019 figure, $35,568. NASA raising concerns about a chronic oxygen leak on board the International Space Station. The station's been leaking air for 5 years. NASA worried it's a sign structural integrity of the ISS could fail. Russian Space Agency disagrees. NASA doesn't believe the crew on board's in any immediate danger. Dave Packer, ABC News.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. More people across the country are driving electric vehicles, but Wisconsin lags behind. EVs only make up about 1% of all cars on our roads. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Misconceptions about cost, maintenance, and performance are top of mind for hesitant buyers. But in Wisconsin, where about 30% of the state's population is rural, accessibility is one of the biggest concerns. Jeremiah Brockman with the Wisconsin Electric Vehicle Association thinks it's only partly because rural areas in general are slower to catch on to some trends. He says some areas still don't have enough charging stations.
Part of the problem, too, is you have more farmland in rural areas. And if you spend the entire day out on a farm and you're driving around your, many acres of land, you worry about where you're going to charge your vehicle at that point. And I think that's another hurdle.
Compared to neighboring states, Wisconsin has significantly fewer charging stations. In an effort to help bolster the state's EV infrastructure, Wisconsin passed a law earlier this year to install a network of 65 fast charging stations statewide. The plan is to install them every 50 miles along the interstate system and major highways through next year. Even though the law was Republican-authored in Wisconsin, Brockman says he believes the political divide is another factor in EV ownership hesitation.
Honestly, this is part of a larger national conversation where electric vehicles are kind of being politicized. And, I like to say the benefits are there. It doesn't matter who you voted for last Tuesday. The benefits are there no matter what.
Those benefits include lower fuel and maintenance costs, lower emissions, and potential tax breaks. For Public News Service, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny and breezy, highs in the low 50s. Chance of showers tonight, lows in the mid-40s, still a bit on the breezy side. Mostly sunny and 53 for Sunday. Monday, showers, highs near 53. Monday night, showers and 44.
It's 48 at our studios.
Hey, this is Aaron, editor for Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans. You're about to hear a countdown episode for the election, and while the election did already happen, it's about finding unbiased news sources, so still very relevant. Enjoy.
Hey there, political orphans. Welcome to another special edition election countdown of Lost in the Middle. It's going to be an interesting conversation today, as you may recall, those of you who listen to the show regularly. I sort of have the entire axis of evil covered. So I spent 14 years as a journalist, then 8 years in Congress, then about 20 years as a lobbyist. So whichever of those professions you hate the most, you can blame me. Whichever ones of them you like, I'll also take all the credit for it. Sort of a quick story to get into this before we talk to Isaac Saul, who's our guest today, who's created, I think, one of the most interesting new news publications in the country. And we're going to talk about the media and its role in the current elections, and then also catch up on some battleground areas. Isaac's from Pennsylvania, lives in Philadelphia, went to school in Pittsburgh. And it may be that Pennsylvania is the linchpin of this entire election, because the path for the Democrats get really tough if they lose it. And even if Trump loses it, it's going to be a very complicated run for him, because he's got to sort of sweep the rest of the states that are on the tables. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about journalism these days and some of the challenges the industry faces. And I think a lot of the economic challenges are actually what's, I think, driving what it seems to me, and Isaac may disagree with this, driving sort of a tendency now to go left or right, because it's the only way you can get paid subscribers. So I've joked, if you listen to one of my earlier episodes on how the media lost its way, that it all went to hell in about 1994 when somebody bought a used Oldsmobile on Craigslist. And people look at me strangely when I tell that story. But the fact is, starting in 1994, classified advertising disappeared from American newspapers, which were about 40% of the revenue. For those of you who aren't old timers, once upon a time, you'd get a paper dropped on your porch on a Sunday morning, and in it would come about three sections of classified advertising, which is where you bought dogs, sold dogs, bought a car, sold a car, looked for a job, you know, real estate ads, buying, selling, whatever. And that went kablooey. And then the next thing, right about the timing's great for the newspaper industry, along comes the internet, and everybody says, oh, we'll just put everything up online for free. And now nobody will pay for it. So if you look around the country, I meant the number of newspaper deserts is staggering. So then you have to look what's happening with the cable industry today, because everybody's cutting cable, especially cutting the cord, especially anybody under 30, which makes it really hard to make money in the cable business. You can see it in the sports industry where, you know, one of the largest providers of local sports programming just went completely belly up. And this week, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers find themselves with the Guardians and a number of other teams where they're going to be broadcast on Peacock, or they may be broadcast on Major League Baseball. And so if you're running a television news operation, same thing. The only people who pay were the folks who are sort of on the extremes in both parties. And that's why what my guest has done is so intriguing. So Isaac actually started a news operation years ago. It's bare bones, but I think does some of the best coverage in the country, the most balanced coverage in the country. And it's already got about 125,000 subscribers, which a lot of local news operations would die for these days. So, Isaac, welcome to the show. And tell me, as we sort of kick this off, your traditional journalism background.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me, Scott. I'm glad to be here. I have a pretty, familiar story, I think, for a lot of people in the media, at least in the early ages of my career. I got my start actually in high school in a media class that my old teacher, Mr. Al Wilson, taught. And we ran a little local channel that covered issues at the high school, you know, which was a bunch of kids basically impersonating real news anchors. And it was good fun and good training and made me like the craft a lot. And I went to the University of Pittsburgh out in Western Pennsylvania. And then I worked for the school newspaper there. And I majored in nonfiction writing with a journalism track. There was no J school at Pitt. So, you know, my experience was really doing the work. I was the sports editor for the school paper, big Division I school. And I got opportunities to shadow, you know, local reporters from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette or ESPN or wherever else, and work for a couple dailies and a couple weeklies as interns. And then when I graduated college, I actually spent some time abroad. I lived in Israel for about 6 months and started applying for jobs back home, writing about my experiences in the Middle East. And so my first job was actually at the Huffington Post, which no surprise has quite the liberal lean. And I like to tell people, you know, I didn't start working there because I was a bleeding heart liberal. I worked there because I applied for 50 jobs and only one place gave me an interview and it was them. And it's hard to get a job in media, man. So yeah, I took the gig and I think that was my very first job in media. And I got to see how the sausage was made at a kind of, you know, a news outlet that had a very obvious overt political slant, which was informative for me. And then I worked all over. I started a media company with Ashton Kutcher. I've written for Time Magazine, for Vox, for Independent Journal Review, which is a conservative magazine. I've kind of spanned the gamut, freelanced a bunch. And about 5 years ago, I decided that things seemed really broken and I didn't like how it was working. So I went out on my own to start Tangle.
Well, I'm going to take you down a strange little detour for a minute. So the woman who was my last press secretary in office had actually worked for Mike Huffington, who was Arian Anna Huffington's husband, who was an oil heir. I don't remember which oil company it was, which I suspect is where part of the money came from to start it. And it was, you know, here's interesting, is that she's married to a very conservative congressman from California, gets divorced, and then takes a hard turn left. Did you have any interaction with her at all personally?
Yeah. I saw her around the office. She was actually quite good at kind of, you know, being present and trying to meet people and talk people. I mean, when I got there, they were doing really well. So it was still a huge newsroom. I mean, hundreds of people in this New York office. I remember very vividly, this was at an era where all of the stuff she was preaching about work-life balance was being put into practice in a lot of places. So we had yoga classes, you know, in the middle of the workday at 11 o'clock, which as a 23-year-old reporter, I obviously took advantage of. And one day I opened my eyes from like this deep breath meditation and sat up and she was sitting right next to me. She had come in the middle of the class and we talked a bit. But yeah, and you know, interestingly enough, I mean, a kind of a story that's been told in different parts of the media, but lots of rumors or maybe even, you know, some contextual evidence too that her politics were not particularly aligned with the politics of the news outlet. You know, she saw it more as a business opportunity and saw a space that could be filled rather than somebody who is acting on her own ideological beliefs. Yeah, I have no insight into whether that was true or not, but it is an interesting little curveball in the story there.
So before we leave that, so when you were there, it was obvious to you that it had tilted. Do you think the same thing was going on if you'd go back and look at the Pittsburgh Press Gazette at that time or the Philadelphia Inquirer? Or they were still trying to do it the old-fashioned way? Were you told both sides of the story?
I think what was clear with the Huffington Post was that it had an ideological worldview tilted toward the left that determined, you know, how it framed headlines, what stories it decided to cover, the people it quoted in the story, and what elements of the story it focused on. I mean, the way that I talk about this often is, you know, if a immigrant comes here to the United States illegally and starts a business that turns into a multi-million dollar company, you can bet everything you own that the New York Times is going to cover that story. if an immigrant comes here illegally and gets drunk and kills somebody in a car accident, you can bet every dollar you own that Fox News is going to cover that story. And there's selection bias in how these news outlets choose what they're going to cover. And so one of the ways Huffington Post sort of expressed this bias, I think, was covering a lot of stories that reflected the ideological worldview that existed in the newsroom. Places like the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and Philadelphia Inquirer, I think, had a different challenge. I mean, certainly a number of reporters there, probably the majority of reporters there, had ideological leanings to the left. I think that's true more at Philadelphia Inquirer than Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. But their reporters do a lot of really fair work, in my opinion, at least traditionally, the people on the Straight News team. The challenge they have is that these big newsrooms like, well, they used to be big newsrooms. They've, you know, gotten gutted in the last decade or two. But the Inquirer and the Post-Gazette, they have editorial boards. And in the case of the Inquirer, a lot of their opinion writers and their editorials they publish express a liberal worldview, which is a really big challenge for the news team because they often get bucketed into that. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette traditionally, I think, is closer to the center than the Philadelphia Inquirer, certainly than the Huffington Post. I'm not sure what the lean of their editorial board or opinion section tends to be these days, but at least when I was in college, I would say they were not very predictable and they kind of reflected the politics of the region, which is really all over the place.
We're going to talk as soon as we get back from the break in a couple of minutes about how you actually got your operation started. But I think you pointed out something important that my impression is, and my firm belief is, that reporters on the beat tell it fair. I mean, I don't think people who work for the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal are making stuff up as they go. But, you know, the secret sauce is what the editor gives you, because of the slant of the story going in drives the narrative, right?
Yeah, I think something a lot of people misunderstand, you know, regular news consumers, is like, the writers don't make the headlines. We don't decide what gets cut. We don't determine, you know, what the lead or the angle of the story is. Typically, you write a draft of a piece and you bring it to your editors. And then there's these, you know, one, two, three, four levels of people who outrank you, who get to push back and reconstruct your piece and tell you what they think the angle of the story is. And that's a really big challenge as a reporter who, you know, ends up with their name on the story when editors are kind of doing a lot of the work in the background. And it's certainly true, in my opinion, that a lot of the big mainstream reporters that we have are pretty fair by the book people. But sometimes their work is, you know, reflected or pushed out into the space after an editorial touch that can push it in one direction or the other.
Yeah, I'll give one quick example I always think of is when some school board sits there and has to figure out the cuts, right? And so it turns into this litany of, we're going to end music programs, we're going to end all the sports teams, you know, kids won't have food in the cafeterias, and sort of saying, wait a minute, you know, your administrative staff is four times what it was 10 years ago. And that's the sort of stuff that drives me crazy, because the narratives become so predictable. They're oftentimes just meaningless cliches. But we'll be back to talk more about your own story and how you launched your news service in just a minute, right after this.
This podcast is brought to you by the American Property Owners Alliance. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that protects property owners and their interests. Did you know that in 10 states and Washington, D.C., the government can take more than what it is owed in property taxes in the instance of a foreclosure? From 2014 to 2021, 8,600 homes and more than $780 million in savings were lost to this practice, known as home equity theft. We are working to end home equity theft everywhere it remains on the books. Visit PropertyOwnersAlliance.org to join the effort to protect property rights.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, welcome back. We're talking to Isaac Saul, who I think's got one of the most interesting journalism operations in the country. Effective, unbiased, and tiny. So talk to me, Isaac, about how you woke up one day and said, I got to do this on my own.
Yeah, I like to say I sort of have two genesis stories. The first is that I grew up in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, which is a bellwether county in a bellwether state that often determines the outcome of presidential elections. So I just have a lot of people in my life, my family, old teachers, you know, classmates, teammates, whatever it is, who span the political spectrum. And I spend a lot of time sharing space with these people, you know, diehard MAGA bros and lefty Bernie bros and everybody in between. And when I came into the media industry, I recognized that a lot of people, you know, to the right of the political spectrum, a lot of the people I grew up with were not really represented in some of these spaces. And I also saw reasons for and understood why people from the left might criticize the way the media approaches certain issues. And amidst this, I, you know, really wanted to find a place where I could go deep on specific policy-related questions with a really wide spectrum of views about those questions. So, for example, you know, when Trump's proposing his border wall, if I want to understand the best arguments for and against the border wall, I can't just read the New York Times because I won't get the strongest conservative arguments about why a border wall might work. What I have to do is I have to read the New York Times straight news team, then I have to read the New York Times editorial board, then I have to read the Wall Street Journal, then their editorial board. Then I need to go listen to a Ben Shapiro podcast and watch some Tucker Carlson and then turn on Pod Save America or listen to NPR. And, you know, after hours of doing all of this, I could sit down and say, you know what? I think I have a really good grasp of all the different views about this issue from the far left to the far right and everybody in between. And now I understand the arguments. Why doesn't this just exist in one place? Like, why can't I just go to one place to get this? And that was the initial concept for the newsletter and what I built was let's just bring all these views under one roof, just show them to people. And let folks make up their mind about what resonates with them, what seems like the strongest argument. And so Tangle to me was the kind of embodiment of this exercise that I was doing on my own as someone who is just curious and politically moderate and wanting to understand the world. And I figured if I want this, there's got to be a lot of other people out there who want it too. I mean, I wasn't confident launching it because I know how powerful partisan media is, and I figured it was going to be hard to get people to read and engage arguments they didn't like. But it turned out I was right. There are a lot of people who want this. And, you know, we have over 140,000 people on our mailing list now, and we have a YouTube channel and a podcast and an audience that is really engaged and really cares about what we're doing. And I think we're punching above our weight in a lot of ways.
How do you drive subscribers? Where do they come from? How do they find you?
Yeah. So in the early days, I mean, I've been doing this for 5 years now. I would say the first 3.5 years, it was 90% word of mouth. So we would make it really easy for people to share the newsletter. We would ask them to share it. We would do, you know, drives where if somebody sent us a screenshot of them texting the newsletter to a friend, we'd enter their name in a raffle and we'd give out, you know, merchandise and stuff like that. Over the years, as our subscriptions have grown and we've started to make money and built this kind of sustainable business, I've started spending money on advertisements. The most successful ads that we buy are typically advertising in other news outlets that are summarizing the news in kind of short form, typically neutral, unbiased ways where we can say, hey, if you want to go more in depth on these topics and get a, you know, get a better understanding of the arguments, come subscribe to our newsletter. We also have success subscribing or advertising, excuse me, in overt conservative and liberal spaces. And we do that differently. You know, if I'm advertising in a conservative space, I'll say, I'm a political journalist who agrees that the media is broken and I've built this solution. Come join us and see what we're all about. And if I'm advertising in a liberal space, I might say, you know, are you struggling to understand why your uncle would vote for Donald Trump? Here's a newsletter that gives you the best arguments that are coming from across the political spectrum on big divisive issues. And that typically resonates, you know, respectively with those sides and brings people in. And that's been a really good growth metric for us, is just telling people exactly what we're doing, maybe framing it a little bit differently depending on the audience. But there's an appetite for people who want to understand different political views and challenge their own thinking. I mean, believe it or not, there are a lot of Americans out there who actually want to do that.
So one of the segments in our story about the media was about All Sides, which is a nonprofit, which essentially was founded by guys who came out of the internet industry thinking the internet would bring people together, and instead found out what it did is it actually drives people to whatever their own bizarre rabbit holes are. So All Sides, if you're not familiar with this, and you go on their website, basically rates media outlets from left to right. So the New York Times, not surprisingly, is left. The Wall Street Journal is slightly right. But there are very few who sort of get high marks for being dead center. And Isaac, you're one of them. And do you appreciate that sort of confirmation?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, I was a little bit nervous when all...
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President-elect Trump is rapidly filling positions for a second administration, some nominees causing controversy.
A growing number of Republican senators making it clear they want to see the House Ethics Committee report into Trump's pick for Attorney General Matt Gaetz. The bipartisan committee was investigating Gaetz for allegations of illicit drug use and sexual misconduct. Sources telling ABC a woman testified he had sex with her when she was only 17, and a lawyer representing another woman telling us his client testified she witnessed it.
ABC's Gaetz Mary Alice Sparks. In a late-night court filing Friday, federal prosecutors argued that Sean Diddy Combs' latest bail request should be denied, claiming that he poses a serious risk of danger and obstruction in his sex trafficking case. Red flag warnings for 43 million Americans across eight states. The Northeast dangerously dry, wind gusts reigniting hotspots, millions bracing for gusty winds and more fires. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Badgers upset Arizona. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Arizona Wildcats were ranked ninth in the nation, but on a night, the Badgers honored now Hall of Fame coach Bo Ryan. They beat Arizona 103-88. Missouri transfer John Fanjay led Wisconsin with 41 points.
As far as Wisconsin, I feel like I want to be a part of, you know, a night like this. I think we have a great, amazing coaching staff. I just want to be a part of something special. Today we had, you know, alumni come in and we celebrated some of the guys from the Sweet 16 teams. I mean, it was just...
Final four.
Even better. My bad.
They host Texas Rio Grande Valley Monday at the Kohl Center. NBA, Bucks on the road in Charlotte tonight to play the Hawks. College football, Wisconsin and number one ranked Oregon. Kickoff at 6:30 tonight at Camp Randall. The Packers in Chicago against the Bears tomorrow at noon. Rookie running back Marshawn Lloyd, just back from an ankle injury, will not be able to play.
Unfortunately, he had appendicitis, so.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny and breezy, highs in the low 50s. Chance of showers tonight, lows in the mid 40s, still a bit on the breezy side. Mostly sunny and 53 for Sunday. Monday, showers, highs near 53. Monday night, showers and 44.
It's 48 at our studios.
After raising the kids, having weddings, and getting them settled, my wife and I prepared to spend our very first Christmas alone. They were all at the in-laws this year, so we watched old videos of them growing up. Went to bed early, and Christmas morning, my wife said, "Let's never do that again."
We're on our own again this year, but we're actually looking forward to it because we rented a private vacation home in Alexandria, Minnesota. Lakes, shopping, restaurants, and new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Hey, this is Aaron, editor for Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans. You're about to hear a countdown episode for the election, and while the election did already happen, it's about finding unbiased news sources, so still very relevant. Enjoy.
Hey, so welcome back, Political Orphans, and thanks for joining us on this special election countdown issue of Lost in the Middle. This is episode number 3 with Isaac Saul, who's the creator, editor, driver, probably carries around the monkey wrench, fills up the water cooler and the copying machine, because welcome to small business. But I want to talk to him now in his role as a Pennsylvania native. He grew up in Bucks County, went to school in Pittsburgh. So what is it about Pennsylvania that makes it so swingy?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because today in our kind of political dynamics that we exist in, the most reliable indicator of how people are going to vote is no longer things like, you know, race or geography necessarily. It's education and in some respects, socioeconomics. And what Pennsylvania has is a lot of diversity among those groups, especially counties like Bucks County, where I'm from.
And explain to people who don't know a Pennsylvania map where Bucks County is.
Sure. Yeah. Bucks County is the county just north of Philadelphia, and it encompasses this really wide range of voters. So a lot of, you know, working class white voters who are typically associated with Donald Trump, a lot of highly educated, well-off suburbanites, and a lot of voters of color who are living sort of just on the outskirts of Philadelphia. And so the way that a county like this goes is typically pretty indicative of how the election's going to go. And it's not necessarily who wins. In the last few elections, Democrats have actually won Bucks repeatedly. Hillary Clinton won it. Barack Obama won it the last two times he ran. And Joe Biden won it in 2020. What's really important is the margin. If it's, you know, something like 0 to 1.5%, that's going to be a really good sign for Donald Trump. If Kamala Harris wins it by, you know, more like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7%, that's probably a good sign for her prospects in the election. And if she loses it, then I would bet that Trump is not just going to win Pennsylvania, but'll win the election as a whole. So it's a very interesting place in terms of the voters that make it up. And I think the other thing that makes Pennsylvania really swingy is the kind of typical urban and rural divide that we see in politics today. We have two big cities, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, with two really big, you know, suburban areas surrounding them, and then a huge swath of rural America. I mean, the joke in Pennsylvania is between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia is Pennsylvania. I mean, it is open country, rural areas, very conservative voters. And when you're passing through the state, you feel like you're in the South. I mean, the vibe, the culture, everything about it feels that way. And the voters vote that way. So it's a really, really interesting state with a lot of interesting dynamics.
So the one place you didn't talk about is one of the counties everybody points to, which is Erie County on the far western corner of the state. We were talking about sports before we came on taping the podcast, talking about the Eagles and who Isaac likes and who he hates among Pennsylvania teams. But when I was interviewing some people in Erie early on, I said to one guy, "So Eagles, or are you a Steelers fan?" And he just about jumped through the screen and said, "Have you looked at a map? I'm 20 miles from Cleveland. I'm a Browns fan and I'm a Guardians fan. I hope all the other Pennsylvania teams lose constantly." So push you to the other side of the state. What makes it Erie so weird? Only because it seems to have really a track record of picking the winner.
Yeah, I mean, it's first of all, I'll say the importance of Erie County has not been lost on either candidate in this race. You'll see both of them campaigning there. I believe Kamala Harris is actually out there as we're recording this today, or she went out there this week. The thing about Erie that's really interesting is kind of what you just alluded to there. It's a state that is not far from and regionally distinct from what we consider the Midwest, places like Ohio. Again, it's sort of like it's both a bellwether county and a county that makes you feel like you're in a different part of the country than you'd feel if you were in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh. It flipped in the elections, unlike Bucks County, which is, you know, still considered a bellwether county. I think in I'm looking this up really quick. In 2016, it went for Trump and then it went back to Biden. And before that, Barack Obama had won it twice. So it's a county that Trump has won in the past. And it's a county that traditionally passes between the two political parties. And it has a lot of importance in, you know, the debates that we're hearing around things like energy and fracking, because
the Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think it is, to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back to school clothes, everything else. Right?
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for the Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President-elect Trump is rapidly filling positions for a second administration, some nominees causing controversy.
A growing number of Republican senators making it clear they want to see the House Ethics Committee report into Trump's pick for Attorney General Matt Gaetz. The bipartisan committee was investigating Gaetz for allegations of illicit drug use and sexual misconduct. Sources telling ABC a woman testified he had sex with her when she was only 17, and a lawyer representing another woman telling us his client testified she witnessed it.
ABC's Gaetz Mary Alice Sparks. In a late-night court filing Friday, federal prosecutors argued that Sean Diddy Combs' latest bail request should be denied, claiming that he poses a serious risk of danger and obstruction in his sex trafficking case. Red flag warnings for 43 million Americans across 8 states. The Northeast dangerously dry, wind gusts reigniting hotspots, millions bracing for gusty winds and more fires. This is ABC News. The Department of Labor wanted to change rules in order to make more workers eligible for overtime pay. A federal judge said it cannot.
Many employees are exempt from overtime if they make more than a certain amount of money per year. The Biden administration proposed a rule that would have raised the threshold to $43,888, saying that would make about 4 million more workers eligible for overtime pay. But the state of Texas and business organizations sued, saying it exceeds the Labor Department's authority. And a district judge in Texas agreed, ruling scheduling job duties, not wages, determine overtime eligibility. Brian Clark, ABC News.
The threshold now reverts back to the 2019 figure, $35,568. NASA raising concerns about a chronic oxygen leak on board the International Space Station. The station's been leaking air for 5 years. NASA worried it's a sign structural integrity of the ISS could fail. Russian Space Agency disagrees. NASA doesn't believe the crew on board's in any immediate danger. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently, one of the classes I was teaching, saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Yeah, let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show. Right now, at a time like this, you are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of Civic Media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have, you plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point. And they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Matt and Air on Air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else. Right?
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think it is, to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already is.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently, one of the classes I was teaching, saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santa. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is.